Thank you. Thank you for that lovely introduction. I always appreciate being here with you. And I just want to welcome everybody who's joining us. I thank you for joining us. And yes, the topic tonight that was really on my heart is home management and home ministry. And in a nutshell, it's about kind of getting it all done while at the same time putting first things first in our roles as wives and moms. Now, I spoke with Cindy during the Ultimate Women's Expo, and my talk during that session was called Muddling Through Motherhood. And it's turned out, actually, I've done that a couple of times since then in different seminars and different venues, and it's actually turned out to be one of my more popular talks, and surprisingly so, because it was kind of a difficult one for me to write. It was sort of a personal experience that I had gone through where I was kind of feeling like I was getting far from the Lord and struggling with my role as a wife and a mother in a way that I hadn't been before, and some of the things that the Lord showed me that I needed to do to get back on track. And so Muddling Through Motherhood was sort of an encouraging talk about how us wives and moms can get out of those seasons where we feel like, you know, we're far from the Lord and thus not as effective and productive as we could be and everything that He's called us to do. And so many women have come back to me to share that one particular comment in that seminar has really resonated with them. I said that during one of my muddling seasons, I slowly began managing rather than ministering to my children, and that was one of the biggest ruts that I struggled to get out of during that season. And it really amazed me how many other moms felt the same way. So today, I wanted to talk about how to more successfully meet the dual responsibilities that we have for both home management and home ministry, and to have it happen in a balanced sort of way. And for me, one of the primary scriptures that describes our role as wives and mothers is Titus 2, verses 4 and 5. And you may be familiar with these verses, but I'll go ahead and read them anyway. These verses say that the older women are to train the younger women in their vital responsibilities, which include to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands. Now, while I'm not an older woman by any stretch of the imagination, I want to share with you some of what the older women in my life have brought to me as pertains to this teaching. And I wanted to share my own experiences in trying to live it out, so that hopefully you will be encouraged as you sort of press on toward greater fruitfulness in your own walk with the Lord. Likely, you know, the content of this talk will not necessarily be a new word, but hopefully it's going to be a now word, something that's going to refocus and redirect you in the place where you're in right now. So again, we're talking today about becoming more effective and maybe even less overwhelmed by home management and home ministry. So I think it's a good idea to define those terms as we get going on this topic. For me, and I'd say that for most women, home management has a rather obvious definition, and it refers to all those practical doings of the home that we continually need to address. And specifically, that could be housekeeping, childcare and training, meal preparation, homeschooling, ministering within the community, keeping track of finances, sometimes working inside or even outside the home. I'm sure there's other things that, you know, I'm forgetting. But we have many responsibilities, many things that keep us busy, lots to attend to in the home. The home is not, it's not a place where we sit and watch TV and eat bonbons, at least not by and large. So the home management is obviously all of these things that we need to get done on a day-to-day basis or on a regular basis. However, I do believe that we do ourselves and our families a real disservice when we look at home management as a compartmentalized set of these doings. And I believe that we need to complement that with the working of ministry inside the home. And so for me, when I say home ministry, what I mean is sort of the heart behind it all and how the Lord really breathes life and love into every aspect of what we do each day, even all of these practical doings of home management. The integration of these two things becomes much clearer, I think, as we look at the bits and pieces of Titus 2, 4, and 5. So I wanted to start then just by taking that word apart piece by piece, so just those two verses, to see what it has to say to us and how we can practically apply it to our daily lives. In looking at home management as our home ministry, I believe that we will find greater success and fulfillment in our God-given roles as wives and mothers. Now, one of the first things that we see in these verses that we younger women are to be trained in is to love our husbands and children. And what has always stuck out to me about this is that love is something we need to be trained to do. And if you think about it, you wouldn't think you need to be trained in how to love somebody because it's, you know, it's a natural feeling, it's a natural emotion. But on the other hand, it's kind of easy to see why we do need to be trained in that area. Because you've probably heard it said that love is something you do, right? And it doesn't just depend on your feelings. And frankly, if you're anything like me, you recognize that your feelings are pretty fickle anyway. Emotions often go up and down, and they usually vary depending on your circumstances. Biblically, Jeremiah 17:9 tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. And in fact, Jesus himself warned us that it was out of the overflow of the heart that the mouth speaks. So, you know, have you ever found yourself saying things that came out of your heart or out of your emotions, which later you regretted and you knew that they were just sort of said in the heat of the moment? Now, I know I have. And so, as wives and moms, I think we need to get beyond sometimes how we think and how we feel, and we need to act in love in spite of our feelings. We can't just act loving when we feel like things are good or when we're in the right sort of mood. And I think it does take training to do the right thing, like loving our husbands and children, even when we feel wrong inside or like things are going wrong around us. So that's actually a good bit of advice there in Titus 2 right off the bat, is to consider the training that we need to really love our husbands and children. And so what does that exactly mean? I think it's good maybe to start with a little definition. In this passage, the word used for love doesn't refer to the sacrificial, service-oriented love of agape, but rather the tender fondness of motherly love. Literally, it's the brotherly love of phileo. And I was kind of surprised by that, because actually, I feel like for me as a mom, I'm constantly serving everybody, putting everybody's needs ahead of my own, it seems like. So wouldn't it make sense that this motherly love is more of that agape love? But it's not. It's literally just fondness and tenderness, brotherly love, which, again, this strikes me as more of a feeling kind of love, so it's odd that we need to be trained in it, right? But I think that when I was stuck in that rut of managing rather than ministering to my children, this love was really the missing element. I was doing and doing and doing, and I was trying to keep everything in order, and I was just sort of going through the paces. But what I found was that my tone of voice was very often harsh, or at least harsher than I would have liked and probably my children would have liked. I was easily irritated. I got impatient with, you know, sometimes that seemingly constant need for correction that you have with your children. And I think I wanted to be anywhere but where I was. And that, you know, as much as you try to hide it, I think it's painfully obvious to everybody. So pretty much what I was exhibiting was the exact opposite of the love that's, like, described in 1 Corinthians 13. And so was I doing all that needed to be done? Yeah, I sure tried. Was I even trying to meet my children's needs for attention and affection? Well, you know what? Actually, I was. However, I think my heart definitely wasn't in it. And again, it was obvious. So how did I get back to expressing that tender and motherly love that I knew was God's will for me and for our family? Well, let's jump back into Titus 2, and we'll get to verse 5 to answer that question, because I think that's the heart of it. The next area that we need to grow in for maximum effectiveness is in this being self-controlled and pure, as verse 5 says. And for me, these verses relate to my own walk with the Lord and to how I'm living out my faith. And I find that I need to focus on fulfilling my home responsibilities, yes, and on nurturing my children and meeting my husband's needs, of course. But none of that will be possible unless I'm in the right place in my relationship with the Lord. And like I said, you know, it's easy to focus on the doings of home management and forget the love that's the essential part of the home ministry if we're not filled up with God's love and His truth. And I found that I need to have the self-discipline to make right choices in a variety of areas, like it says here in Titus 2:5. I need to have self-discipline in practical things, like taking care of my own health and well-being, which honestly do make a big difference in the spiritual realm. I need to be self-controlled and self-disciplined to do things like making myself get up early to spend that necessary quiet time with the Lord. It also takes self-control to, as the Bible says, take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ, and to be alert enough to almost constantly be praying, to have that attitude of prayer throughout the day, and also to be able to speak God's word over our situations rather than let random thoughts take control. But all of these things are vital to, I know, to the success of my days, and I think this would apply to all of us. Excuse me. I also need to do what the second half of that verse says and keep myself pure. And there's no easy definition for what that means, but practically speaking for myself, I find that purity is better achieved by eliminating distractions in my day, like simple things like television, too much internet, books or other diversions, even relationships that are harmful to my walk with the Lord. I need to do whatever is necessary to stay centered on Jesus, on the reality of who He is and what He's done, so that that truth and so that His love will spill out in everything else that I do. Truthfully, now, growing in self-control and purity is, I think, what makes us effective ministers in our home. The overflow of our faith, that's what brings the love and the joy into our lives. And without it, we really can't fulfill our godly responsibilities as wives and moms. We may be able to do the doings, but the results will likely be disappointing. So our training in the area of self-control and purity, I believe, is of vital importance to everything we do. So I would urge you, quite plainly, not to neglect these things in your day-to-day walk with the Lord. Now, next, Titus 2:5 tells us to be busy at home. And now, you know, this is obviously the more practical stuff of home management that we've already briefly defined. And, of course, I think we can all point to the Proverbs 31 woman as a classic example of one who has it all sort of put together. She meets all of her responsibilities in such a way that she earns the honor of her husband, the praise of her children. You know, centuries later, there's, you know, women throughout history who have sought to emulate her. She's who we all want to be, right? But I'll be honest now. Effective home management is an art, and bringing it all together like that is really beyond the scope of what I intend to talk about this evening, and it would take so much more time than what I have here. However, suffice it to say, I do believe that, particularly as homeschoolers, we need to cut ourselves some slack in this area. And I know for me, there are many days when, you know, the laundry sits in the dryer, not getting folded, just sitting there getting wrinkled, and, you know, our family dinner is like hot dogs and french fries with carrot sticks. My neatening up of the house involves, you know, making strategic piles of papers and books. And, you know, it's probably obvious that dusting is my lowest priority in housekeeping. However, the reminder of Titus 2:5, which tells us quite simply to be busy at home, actually brings me a lot of comfort in the sometimes imperfection of my home management, because it doesn't say that older women should train the younger women to keep a perfect house, or to have everything always in order. It simply says that we should be busy at home. And you know what? On the days when I feel that I fall woefully short on the home management ideal, one thing I can say is that I've truly kept busy. So I guess I haven't, I shouldn't have disappointed myself, right? And one other thing that I constantly remind myself about this verse, though, is that this woman is supposed to be busy at home. And sometimes I know we all get distracted by the good we see in various community events, even church functions or programs. And especially at homeschoolers, you know, those extracurricular activities beckon. But we have to be wise in our choices in all of these areas, because our first call is to be busy at home. And then, you know, I think once we have invested there, we can be sure that we've adequately met our responsibilities and ministered to our husband and children. And then those endeavors outside the home, whether they're academic or personal or ministry, they can be a real blessing to us. Otherwise, they really end up turning into a distraction that takes away from our true priorities. Now, on the topic of being busy at home, I wanted to share with you something I posted on my refrigerator. I reread it from time to time because it's really a perfect reminder of what we're talking about here. It's called The Smell of Parenting, and it comes from my friend Steve Nelson at Premeditated Parenting. And you know what? I hope you'll take a few minutes at some point to visit his site, which is premeditatedparenting.net. He's got some real great stuff there. Lots of great articles, very biblical, very humorous, and very just practical. But this one that always resonates with me is called The Smell of Parenting. So let's see what Steve has to say on the subject of home management. The theme verse for this is Proverbs 14:4, which in the ESV says, "Where there are no oxen, the manger is clean, but abundant crops come by the strength of the ox." And here's what Steve writes about that. He says, "A novice farmer shows off his clean barn to his neighbor. The ground is spotless, and the manger, or feed trough, looks as clean as new. After shooting the breeze a while, the experienced farmer invites his friend to come and see what a barn should look like. The young farmer is a little hurt because he can't imagine a nicer setup than what he has. They walk over to the neighbor's farm, all the while discussing the incredible amount of work each of the older farmer's four oxen can perform. At the barn, hay is strewn everywhere, and the feed trough is covered with dried ox slobber. 'What is that horrible stench?' asks the young man. 'That, my friend, is the smell of money.' The goal of a farmer is not to have the nicest barn, cleanest trough, or freshest fragrances. His goal is to grow crops and raise animals. To focus on his goal, he lets a few things slide along the way. From sunup to sundown, he works hard. He is not lazy or negligent, but he simply has no time to clean troughs and rake out barns. Instead of scooping up every piece of manure, he simply wears rubber boots. A wise parent will take a similar approach. If every meal must be a culinary delight, every toy in its perfect spot, every shelf dusted, and every floor vacuumed, there will be no time left for parenting. With children comes a certain level of messiness. This is to be managed, but also expected. The goal is to raise the children, not eliminate the messiness. As the farmer embraces the mess of the ox, the parents should embrace the clutter of childhood. Far more critical things are happening in our homes than keeping our houses spotless. Much good is being produced in a Christian home." And I think that's a wonderful conclusion. And again, I think it's just a good summation of what I'm trying to get at here in meeting our responsibilities in home management. I think that the balance needs to be made between home management and home ministry, with the emphasis, honestly, on the home ministry, which is the heart of our home, relationships with our children, and the things that we're accomplishing for the Lord. So, in your home management, what's your focus? Are you doing the ministry of the home and loving your husband and children first and foremost? Are you centered in your relationship with God such that you're responding to His will for your day? And if so, I think you need not be frustrated with how your home looks. You can be content in the fact that you've been busy and you've done your best. Now, in this area, for my husband and me, good communication and flexibility really are key. I've talked to my husband about what he likes to see done consistently around the house, and I attend to those priorities first. Now, oddly enough, he's really happy just to have a hand towel in the kitchen and the bathrooms for when he washes his hands, because it seems like they're constantly grabbed for spills, and they're not always replaced if I'm not paying attention. But, you know, he gets his hand lathered and wet, and then he's dripping all over the place, and he just wants a towel without having to dig through the cabinets or the drawers, right? So that's one thing that he's asked me. Could you just please make sure there's a hand towel in the kitchen and the bathroom? And you know what? That's easy enough if I make it a habit to notice if there's a towel or not. He also likes things to stay neat for the sake of order and in case of unexpected company, because being prepared to offer hospitality is something that's really important to both of us. But, you know, he'll be the first to say, and I agree, that there's a big difference between neat and being able to eat off the floor. I'm blessed, really, that my husband values the atmosphere of our home over its appearance, and he's really happier to have the emphasis on home ministry over home management. And now, this may not be true for every household, but this is where communication between a husband and wife as to their values and the expectations can be more than helpful in relieving the sense of burden that we ladies can sometimes have about being that elusive Proverbs 31 woman. Because you know what? If you and your husband agree on what your priorities in home management should be, and you attend to those things, you can kind of relax about it, breathe easier, and attend to the home ministry things. Practically speaking, now in our home, to manage the goals that we have, just for keeping a neat environment and, you know, be prepared to offer hospitality and so on, we have a one toy at a time rule, and we have quick clean times during the day when we focus on putting away out-of-place toys and books and other things that really seem to quickly add up. There's a lot of people in our household like yours, I'm sure, is busy. Things get put down and don't get picked back up because, you know, in the middle of it, Mom asks one of the kids to do something and off they go, leaving whatever they had and, you know, whatever. There's just obviously times when things get a little bit cluttered. So we have quick clean times, usually right after schooling time and before lunch, and then again after the afternoon free time, and then usually right before dinner, where we take 5 or 10 minutes, everybody gets a room, and we just do a quick pickup. And then we have twice daily chore times, half hours in the morning and late afternoon, which are an opportunity for more targeted cleaning. And with 5 working-age children, we manage to keep things up well enough with the morning and afternoon chore times. And frankly, you know, it's not always to the standard I'd like, but the house ends up looking acceptable most of the time. However, along with good communication and some good strategies to meet those goals, flexibility is also very important in home management because, I mean, for us, although we do have a certain schedule, per se, of when different cleaning tasks should be done, you know, we often have to rearrange those times or those tasks. Sometimes we skip morning or afternoon chore times because of appointments or errands, and I have to be content with catching up in a modified way during the next work time. Sometimes we have company, and then when they leave, the entire house seems like a wreck. So at those times, you know, if we've had company into the evening, the next day we might call a morning off school and do housework instead. To try to meet the schooling goals, we might do verbal or audio schooling of sorts, or watch an educational movie after our work is done, or maybe we just try to catch up on schoolwork over the next couple of days, adding in a little bit extra here and there. So, you know, we try to manage the home and the specific needs that we have and the things that are going on in a practical way without making it burdensome. And honestly, you know, most nights I leave the dinner dishes in the sink so that the children can wash them the next morning. And really, this used to drive me a little crazy, and I hated waking up to a sink full of dishes. But that's one thing that, you know, waiting on that task really helps our evenings as a family to be less busy and a lot more enjoyable. And, you know, I found that very often my feelings about my home management affect my relationships with my husband and children. If I am displeased with how the house looks, I can get into, like, nagging at the kids, or I sit there and I grumble to myself that, oh, they don't just pick up after themselves. You know, are they ever going to get it? They just take stuff out, they play with it, and then they leave it. And, you know, I could go on and on, just grumbling to myself, even if I don't say anything out loud. It's all in my head, you know? or I wish that my husband would help with, you know, whatever X thing that I'm doing. But, you know, honestly, he very often does. But when I have a negative attitude in the area of home management, I have to say it really skews my thinking. And then the result is just totally wrong reactions oftentimes. You know, I end up pushing the kids to, you know, just, let's pick up this mess. Let's get going. And then, you know, like I said, I kind of get naggy, and it's just, it's wrong. So I think that my attitude about home management can have a negative effect on my overall home ministry. And really that's something that I try to keep a careful eye on, because I know that it's likely to happen. And so that's where the self-control of keeping my feelings in check and my tongue in line, that really comes in handy. And I have to remind myself that having a picture-perfect home is really not worth the sacrifice to relationships, either mine with my husband, mine with my children, or ultimately, really, theirs with the Lord. So now, hopefully that's given you some good practical help on what it means to manage the home and some things that you can consider in either making changes or better balancing the home management with the aspect of home ministry. So let's move on to Titus 2:5, the next part of that verse, which tells us, quite simply, to be kind. I think that's kind of self-explanatory, but as relates to this topic, of course, being kind is important to our home ministry in the way that we behave towards our husband and children. But I believe also that it extends, in this season of our lives in particular, to our ministry in the community, which, you know, our home ministry is our first ministry, but I think we all want to be sure that we're being effective and productive with whatever other purposes that the Lord has for our lives. And I think to be kind is ultimately an important part of that. We need to be kind in our relationships with our husband and children, and we also should seek to show kindness to neighbors, friends, and really all the people that we come into contact with. Because this, I think, can be a wonderful witness for Christ, and it can be a very simple way that we can draw other people to Him. I think that, you know, again, as busy wives and moms, so focused on the home, we get the idea that we should be doing something more for God. And it can be frustrating that all of our time seems focused on the home and children. But being ready to show simple kindness can really be our greatest ministry in this season of life. So, you know, can you invite someone over for dinner? Can you make a sick person or, you know, a new mom a meal? Can you make a really quick phone call of encouragement to somebody that's on your mind? Or send in the mail a greeting card with an uplifting Bible verse, letting someone know that you're praying for them? And, you know, of course, even though other people might not know that you do this, you should be praying for the needs of others. I mean, if we're standing over a sink full of dishes, what a great time to pray. You know, there's times when our hands are busy and our minds can be fruitful and our spirits can be fruitful in prayer. And that's a super ministry. We read in Acts chapter 9 of the woman Dorcas who was known for always doing good and helping the poor, it says. And she was really greatly mourned after her death, and she was remembered, it said, particularly for the robes and other clothing that she had made for others. And the important thing that I see here is that this woman wasn't remembered for, you know, her soul-winning testimony or for her ability to lead a woman's Bible study. She was notable simply for her kindness and her service to others. So whether we're talking about ministry in the home or within the community, I believe that we really do well to focus, particularly in this phase of our lives, on doing the kindnesses which are within our ability to do. And we're really likely to find, I think, that the fruit of kindness is unexpectedly rich. Now, finally, Titus 2:5 tells us wives and moms to be subject to our husbands. And frankly, I may have preferred to just skip this part altogether, because submission is a topic that often pushes buttons, But I wanted to talk briefly about why subjection or submission to our husbands can be helpful in both home management and home ministry, and practically speaking, what it may look like. Because frankly now, focusing on our marriages first is important to the overall health of the family. And doing marriage God's way is the best way. If you want to minister to your children, they have to see you relating in a loving and godly way to your husband. So, practically speaking, how might you do this? Well, you know, let's go back to Titus 2:4 and the reminder to just love your husband. Show him affection. Make his favorite meal or dessert on purpose. You know, if you don't know what it is, ask. My husband loves fruit pies, and there are some days where, you know, we have two dessert nights a week. Excuse me, because we don't want to, you know, overindulge, but we have sort of planned evenings where we have desserts, and it's only two nights a week that we have dessert, and some days I would just love to make a quick, like, one of those bar recipes or cookies, because they're fast and easy. But to do the crust, which, you know, you make from scratch and cut the apples and, you know, just to make the pie, sometimes it seems to me like so much work and it would be just easier to do something else. And I always say to myself, it's only one of two nights a week that we have dessert, and my husband really loves fruit pie more than anything else, so I'm going to make a fruit pie, you know. So make his favorite meal or dessert, like, really on purpose. You can drop him an email, or you can give him a phone call while he's at work to let him know you're thinking of him. You can purposefully compliment him, either to him or, like, in front of other people. And most importantly, show him respect. Don't talk negatively about him, but really seek to build him up, both in front of other people and even really in your own thoughts. You know, I was talking when talking about home management, how, you know, sometimes I grumble, like, gee, I wish my husband would be more helpful with this or that or the other thing. And really, I have to stop myself when I get to thinking like that and think about all the things that my husband does do, and usually without me even asking. And I really end up feeling bad that I ever had those thoughts in the first place. So, you know, again, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, and we need to keep our thoughts pure about our husbands and uplifting, and stop the negative thoughts as soon as we can when we know we're getting into them. Another important element, I think, of submission is to consider and honor our husband's preferences, and especially doing so with the right heart attitude. As I've already mentioned, we can also try to communicate in a loving way with our husbands about home management, even homeschooling, to see what his preferences are in those areas, and really to try to accommodate his desires about the curriculum we use, the way we take care of the home, and so on. Now, sometimes communication is a rather sticky wicket between couples. So I think in the spirit of 1 Corinthians 13, it's really important to be quick to overlook an offense and to be forgiving. So I would just urge you to make sure you would open conversations at a good time, to speak in love, and to remain open to hearing from your husband, because that communication is vital, absolutely vital, and especially in the area of submission. I mean, if we're going to be in subjection to our husbands, as Titus 2:5 tells us, we need to know what he thinks, how he feels. We need to let him say what's on his mind, and we need to be able to understand where he's coming from. Communication is key. And finally, you know, ask your husband how you can help him. Sometimes, if he's doing a job around the house, he might just want your company, even if there's really nothing you can do to help. My husband's one of those people who just loves company. You know, so I find that a lot of times I have to be willing to put off doing those dishes, or, you know, if I was planning sitting down with a good book while, you know, if the kids were helping him, or if he's kind of watching the kids while he's working, and I know I can maybe sit down with a good book, and I think, wow, I have a few minutes to myself, that's great. But I have to willingly put off either doing what I wanted to do or doing the nothing that I wanted to do or whatever else was on my agenda to really just go to where my husband is and sit down and give him some attention while he's attending to something in the house or in the yard, because it really makes him feel like just that I want to spend time with him. It's a good relationship builder. We talk. We enjoy time together, and he knows that I respect what he's doing. I think it's important, too, to if your husband likes to have his own time in the evenings or on weekends, if he prefers to do that, to give him those few minutes to himself to relax and unwind instead of assuming that he's going to do something with the children so that you can have a break. I mean, don't we all want that? You know, my husband, we're kind of blessed now that he's working from home, and so our routines are a little different, and he is very flexible in picking up and letting me have time to do things. But when he was working, you know, he'd come in the house at 6 or 7 o'clock at night. I'd be busy trying to get the kids ready for bed or whatever before he came home so it wasn't so busy. And, you know, by the time he got in the door, I would be ready to go to bed myself. And I'd think, oh, it would be so nice if he would just read him a book or play a game or whatever so I can just sit down and take a breather, you know, because when your husband's away all day, it's a long day sometimes. And I really had to get in the habit of seeing what kind of mood my husband was in, kind of reading where he was at and seeing what he wanted to do. And if he kind of jumped right in, you know, I would feel better about kind of kicking back and just fading into another room for a few minutes or whatever. But if he came in kind of stressed out, you know, I'd try to get him into another room and maybe get him a glass of juice or, you know, whatever, and just let him unwind. And so I think we need to have that attitude of service, that willingness to see what our husband's needs are, to give him, again, his own time, and not to assume that every time he's in the house that, you know, you can borrow him or use him to get your own few minutes of peace. And another thing that I did try to do also when my husband was working as a project manager for an environmental firm, I would take care of little things for him in his work, like printing out certificates and picking up gift cards for this employee appreciation incentive program that he had. It was one of those little things. I mean, he's managing like a multi-million dollar program and, you know, 20-something staff, and this was one of those things that he rarely thought to delegate to anybody. Most of his staff people even had so many other things to do that this was just a nominal thing. But, you know, I'm one of those creative sorts of people that likes working on the computer and putting together a nice-looking little certificate. It seems like a simple thing. It's an easy 20 minutes of work or whatever. But it would take something off of him for me to have it in my Outlook reminders at the end of the month, and I would just automatically do it, and I would go out and get the gift card, you know, to whatever, you know, Chili's or whatever place for dining out that was going to be their sort of award. And, you know, just taking care of some things for him was a way that I could minister to him and show him that I appreciated what he was doing at work and show him that I wanted to help. I also made his lunch every day and made sure to have leftovers for him because he really preferred those to sandwiches and stuff. And, you know, it's funny, his coworkers thought that my making him lunch was so amusing because it's like, you know, so old-fashioned and all. But, you know, doing little things like this is just one way that you can show love to your husband and fulfill your Titus II directives, particularly this last one of subjecting yourself to your husband. You can show him that you're willing to do those things to meet his needs, to show him honor. Now, it's really, now that we've sort of been through these couple of verses in Titus 2, I hope that you can see a little more clearly that, or not necessarily see, you probably already do know, but possibly just to be reminded and encouraged that what you're doing in the home isn't just home management. It's first and foremost your ministry. Your ministry to your husband and children, your work for the Lord and the way you show honor to him. This is what he's called you to do in this season of your life. And it is really my hope that we, as wives and moms, will continually encourage one another to press on to not only manage our homes in the practical sense, but also to minister to our husbands and children in the process so that our homes and our families will glorify God. Our primary ministry, again, is to our families. And I found that as I put all of these first things first, especially these things that we've talked about, coming from Titus 2, 4, and 5. As I put these first things first, really I found that God has opened up for me many other opportunities for ministry within my community and even beyond that. And it's really just amazing. It's like I said, it's easy for us to throw up our hands and say, what am I doing for God? I'm just being a wife and mom. But there really is so much to that. You're touching so many lives. And when you have your priorities in order and you're meeting the home management and home ministry goals that God has for you, again, I do believe that He does open other doors and open our hearts to other things maybe that He would have for us to do as well. But I don't believe that those other endeavors are going to find great success until we put our first things first in the home. So I would just conclude by urging you to remember your priorities as a wife and mom, straight from God's Word, and to not neglect the many wonderful opportunities that you have to minister to your husband and children, and to urge them forward in their calling. And now as well, you know, be sure to feed your own spirit and grow in your relationship with the Lord. Because again, that's really the heart of your home ministry. If you're not right with the Lord, you know, you can't teach and train your children. You can't have the best possible relationship with your husband. It starts with you and God, and it overflows from there. And I believe that as we continually line our lives up with the teachings of Titus 2, 4, and 5, all of the teachings of God's Word, but especially Titus 2, 4, and 5, we will draw nearer to enjoying the peace, the joy, and the true fulfillment that God intends for us in our homes and in our families.